לקוטי שיחס, חלק י' א', פרשס תצווה, שיחה בייס. Begins by quoting the פסוק, ונוסעת אל חושן המשפט, עשר אורים ועשר תומים. You shall place into the חושן משפט, into the breastplate of judgment, the אורים and the תומים. Rashi quotes the words the Urim and the Tumim and explains, this is the inscription of the Shema Mefarash, of the explicit name of Hashem, which was placed within the folds of the Choshen, and through it the Choshen would light up its words and perfect its words. So this Pasuk is talking about the Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, of the High Priest. This was a breastplate made of golden fabric, upon which were sewn 12 precious stones. In the precious stones were engraved the names of the 12 tribes with a few additional letters. The fabric of the Choshen Mishpat was folded over, and within the folds was inserted a piece of parchment which had the name of Hashem written on it. And this piece of parchment is called the Urim V'Tumim. And this gave the Choshen Mishpat the amazing power to answer questions. Meaning, the Kohen Gadol, the High Priest, would ask a question of Hashem. And then some of the letters engraved in the stones on the Choshen Mishpat would light up. And the Kohen Gadol would decipher the letters that were lighting up and thereby receive an answer to the question that he had asked of Hashem. So Rashi here is explaining that this piece of parchment, which had this special power, this is called the Urim V'Tumim. Why is it called Urim V'Tumim? Urim comes from Or, meaning light, and Tumim comes from Tamim, meaning perfect, and therefore Rashi says the Choshen would light up its words and perfect its words, meaning it would clarify the questions and give guidance. And then Rashi continues. In the second temple, there was the Choshen. For the Kohen Gadol cannot serve in the temple if any of his prescribed clothes are missing. So he surely had a choshen, but the name of God was not within it. And then Rashi goes on to explain that it is because of the name of God that the choshen is called choshen mishpat, the breastplate of judgment. And then he quotes a later pasuk, which says, "Vishaal loy b'mishpat ha'urim." And he shall inquire for him through the judgment of the Urim. And this pasuk, this later pasuk, is it's much later. It's speaking about when Moshe appointed Yehoshua to be his successor after his death. And Moshe tells has to tell Yehoshua that when he has a question, he should go to Elazar, the Kohen, and ask him to inquire of the Urim V'Tumim, and that the Urim V'Tumim will give him guidance. And there it says, and he shall inquire for him through the judgment of the Urim. So Rashi is bringing this pasuk to show that this particular power, this particular ability of the Urim V'Tumim to give guidance is called judgment. And that is why the Choshen is called the Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate of judgment. So Rashi really is telling us here three things. Number one, he is telling us what is the Urim V'Tumim, that it is this piece of parchment which was inserted into the Choshen Mishpat, which had the power to give guidance. Number two, Rashi is telling us that in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol had the Choshen but did not have a Urim V'Tumim. And he explains that he definitely did have a choshen because he's not allowed to serve if any of the special garments are missing. And number three, what Rashi is telling us is that because of this Urim V'Tumim, this is what gives the choshen mishpat, the name choshen mishpat. The aspect of mishpat, the judgment, is due to its ability to give guidance, as we see in the pasuk later in Devarim. And now the Rebbe asks three questions on this Rashi, which we have just read. Question number one. We know that Rashi's goal is Pshuta Shel Mikra. Rashi's goal is to explain the literal meaning of the verse. Why then is Rashi here telling us about the second Beis HaMikdash? The second temple is about 1,000 years later, 1,000 years after Hashem told Moshe how to make the Choshen Mishpat. The second temple was built about 1,000 years later. So why is Rashi explaining this here? What does, whether the Kohen Gadol during the second Beis HaMikdash, whether he did have a Choshen or did not have a Choshen, or if the Choshen had an Urim V'Tumim or not, what does that have to do with the literal meaning of this verse which we are learning right now? That's question number one. Question number two. Rashi quotes words from the pasuk and explains them. Rashi here has quoted the words Urim V'Tumim. And then Rashi comes and tells us this, the Urim V'Tumim, is why the Choshen is called Choshen Mishpat, and quotes us a verse from Devarim. Why does Rashi have to explain that here? Rashi is explaining the words Urim V'Tumim. Why here does he have to say that because of the Urim V'Tumim, it is called Choshen Mishpat? That is also not the simple explanation of the words that Rashi is quoting here. If he wants to explain the verse from Devarim, then he can do that when we get up to that verse. We're not up to there yet. So why is Rashi explaining this idea of Mishpat being guidance? Why is he explaining that here? He should explain it there. And question number three, which the Rebbe is asking about Rashi, is that this, what we just read seems to bring up a contradiction, because if Mishpat, if the idea of judgment, the Urim V'Tumim is what gives the Choshen its name, Choshen Mishpat, the Choshen of judgment, the breastplate of judgment, and in the second Beis HaMikdash, as we have just seen, there was no Urim V'Tumim, so that would seem to imply that the Kohen Gadol in the second Beis HaMikdash was lacking one of the garments because he did not have a choshen mishpat. He had just a choshen, but not a mishpat, because the mishpat comes from the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim was lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. So this seems to be a contradiction to what Rashi says before, which was that the Kohen Gadol in the second Beis HaMikdash was not lacking any of his garments, because in that case he would not have been able to serve. Now, the pasuk which we are reading, the same pasuk in our parsha, continues. V'hayu al leiv Aaron b'voyoi lifnei Hashem v'noso Aaron es mishpat b'nei Yisrael aliboi lifnei Hashem tamid. And they will be over Aaron's heart when he comes before God, and Aaron will carry the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before God at all times. Now, on this pasuk, it's a continuation on this half of the pasuk, Rashi quotes the words Mishpat Bnei Yisrael, the judgment of the children of Israel. And Rashi comments, matters that are judged and decided through it, whether or not to do something. And according to the Agadic Midrash, that the Choshen atoned for those who distorted the law, it was called judgment because of its forgiveness for the sins against law and judgment. So here Rashi is giving us two explanations why the Choshen Mishpat is called Mishpat, or why it says that Aaron is carrying the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart. What are the two explanations? First explanation is what we saw before, matters that are judged and decided through it, whether or not to do something, that the Choshen Mishpat gave guidance on how to, on the correct course of action. And the second explanation is, according to the Agadic Midrash, that the Choshen Mishpat atoned for mistakes in judgment. That if a court of law made a mistake and misjudged and miscarried justice, so the Choshen is part of the atonement for this type of sin. In different items in the Mishkan atone for different kinds of sins, and the Choshen atoned for this type of sin of miscarriage of justice by the court of law, a misjudgment by the court of law. And now the Rebbe is giving us two questions on this commentary of Rashi's. The first question is, Rashi already explained this. Earlier in the same parak, in the same chapter, about 15 verses earlier, 14 verses earlier, Rashi explained exactly the same thing. Yet there, so question number one is, why is Rashi repeating the same explanation that he already explained earlier? And the second question is that although Rashi is giving pretty much the same explanations, but he's reversing the order. In that pasuk, which is earlier in the perek, there it says first that Mishpat, the Choshen Mishpat, atones for miscarriage of justice. And secondly, he says that it clarifies and foretells, which means it clarifies and gives guidance on the correct course of action. So now we need to understand, why did Rashi repeat the same explanations and why did he reverse their order? In the earlier pasuk, he says, first atones for miscarriage of justice and then clarifies and gives guidance. Whereas in the pasuk, which we are learning now, he first says that it gives guidance on the correct course of action. And secondly, he says that it atones for miscarriage of justice. And the fact that Rashi reversed the order of these of his commentary, this creates another paradox, another contradiction. Because we know that Rashi in general places the first interpretation, as first interpretation, the one which he considers to be closest to the simple literal meaning of the verse. And if he is not completely satisfied with his first interpretation and he is left with a question, he will also bring a second interpretation, which answers the question left over by the first. However, the first interpretation is the one that is closest to the simple and literal meaning of the text. So, in this pasuk, which we are learning now, we see that he first says that the mishpat, the judgment, is referring to guidance on how to act, and then he stresses that this is a midrash agada, that this is a homiletic explanation, that this is not a literal explanation. He says that gives us the second interpretation, that mishpat means it atoning for mistakes in judgment. So, which means that if he feels that the guidance on how to act is the more literal interpretation, in that case, why in the earlier pasuk, does he place them in the opposite order? So which one is a more literal meaning? Is the atoning for mistakes and judgment the more literal meaning? Or is guidance on how to act the more literal meaning? So here the Rebbe begins to give us the explanation and shows us what is Rashi's goal, what is Rashi's purpose in these two commentaries, the one in the pasuk which we are reading now and the one which came earlier in the chapter. When we look in the Torah at the instructions on how to make the choshen, we see a certain order. First of all, the Torah tells us all the detailed instructions about how to make the choshen, the fabric, the stones, which stones to engrave, etc., etc. How to make the choshen. Then it tells us that Aaron is going to wear the choshen on his breast. Then it tells us to insert the Urim v'Tumim into the choshen, which is the pasuk which we are studying here. And then at the end of this pasuk, which we are learning now, it says that Aaron will carry the judgment of the children of Israel on his heart. So, again, reiterating, how to make the choshen, the fact that Aaron will wear it, to insert the Urim v'Tumim, and Aaron will carry the judgment of the children of Israel on his heart. So this order shows us that the choshen is complete without the Urim v'Tumim, because we see first it says make the choshen, Aaron will wear it, and then it says put in the Urim v'Tumim, which means that the choshen is wearable, it's valid, it's worthy to be worn as soon as it's made. And which means that the Urim v'Tumim bestows an additional element upon the choshen. The choshen is a choshen, is valid without it. The Urim v'Tumim bestows an additional element. But then, when Rashi, in this commentary, which we read in the beginning, Rashi explains, what is the Urim v'Tumim? And Rashi explains that the Urim v'Tumim are, that is, the parchment with the name of Hashem, which gives the Choshen HaMishpat the ability to give guidance. When you read that, you might think, oh, well, that is probably the main function of the Choshen Mishpat. Maybe the Choshen is not valid without it, without having the name of Hashem within it. So since Rashi wants us to understand the verses correctly, so therefore to counteract this, he tells us, no. Look at what happened in the second Beis HaMikdash. We know that in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Urim v'Tumim, yet the Kohen Gadol served, which means that the Choshen was valid even without the Urim v'Tumim. Okay, now that we know that, the Choshen itself is valid even without the Urim v'Tumim, then what is the significance of the Urim v'Tumim? So then Rashi tells us the Urim v'Tumim gives an additional element, an additional aspect to the Choshen, the aspect of Mishpat. Choshen is Choshen, that's fine, it's fine without it. The Urim v'Tumim gives us an additional element, which is why it is called the Choshen Mishpat. Okay, this fits in very well with the order of the Psukim, which we just mentioned. So first, the Torah tells us how to make the Choshen. Then it tells us that Aaron will wear this Choshen with the names of the Shvatim, the names of the tribes, as a zikaron, as a remembrance, which means the Choshen has its own function as a remembrance to remember the tribes. And then it tells us to insert the Urim v'Tumim. And then it says, and Aaron will carry the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before Hashem at all times. So after the Urim v'Tumim is inserted, then Aaron carries the judgment, meaning then Aaron can, through the Urim v'Tumim, give particular guidance. So here in this pasuk, which we are reading, where the Torah tells us to insert the Urim V'Tumim, so here Rashi stresses, the Urim V'Tumim is not the Choshen itself, it adds the aspect of judgment to the Choshen. However, the Choshen is valid even without it. And that is why he brings the other pasuk in Dvarim to show that that Urim V'Tumim add the aspect of Mishpat, that the guidance that the Urim V'Tumim gives is called Mishpat, is called judgment. And that is why he tells us about the fact that the Kohen Gadol in the second temple did not have the Urim V'Tumim. And so therefore, in this same pasuk, when he further in the pasuk explains the words Mishpat B'nei Yisrael, here he is explaining the word Mishpat, the word judgment. And so here he says, oh, what does judgment mean? Number one, judgment means guidance, because he's referring to the aspect of judgment which the Urim V'Tumim gives. What does the Urim V'Tumim give? The Urim V'Tumim gives the Choshen Mishpat the capability to give guidance. That's what Urim V'Tumim gives. It's not connected to the idea of atonement. So atonement, the Choshen can give atonement without the Urim V'Tumim. But what the Urim V'Tumim gives is guidance. So therefore, when Rashi here is explaining the word Mishpat, the first interpretation he gives is that Mishpat is referring to guidance. Now we go back to the earlier Pasuk. The earlier Pasuk is not talking at all about Urim V'Tumim. The earlier Pasuk is talking about the Choshen Mishpat in and of itself. The Choshen in and of itself. But it also uses the word Mishpat. So it uses there the word Mishpat without connection to Urim V'Tumim. So therefore, there, when it's not talking about Urim V'Tumim, so there Rashi uses the most literal interpretation of the word Mishpat. What is the most literal interpretation of the word Mishpat? Mishpat means justice. Mishpat means justice or judgment. So therefore, there he brings the most literal interpretation that it's called Choshen Mishpat. Why? Because it atones for mistakes in judgment. That's a more literal interpretation of Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate of judgment or justice. And the fact that the Choshen Mishpat also gave guidance, that is the less literal interpretation. And so that is why Rashi brings that one, that interpretation second. In our pasuk, however, as we said, our pasuk, which is telling us about the Urim V'Tumim, and so our pasuk is telling us about the Urim V'Tumim, and here Rashi considers that according to the order of the psukim, which we saw, that first it says to make the choshen, and then it says that Aaron will wear it, and only then, now does it tell us to make the Urim V'Tumim. So here, according to the order we see in the psukim, according to the simple glance at the psukim, here we see that the Urim V'Tumim are something additional. So if the Urim V'Tumim here the Urim V'Tumim are something additional, and afterwards it says that Aaron is carrying the Mishpat. So here Rashi puts first the idea of Urim V'Tumim as guidance, because that is the idea of Mishpat, which the Urim V'Tumim added. However, since the idea of guidance, judging the correct action to take, is not such a literal meaning of the word Mishpat, of the word judgment, so therefore he does put in the second interpretation of the fact that it atones for miscarriage of judgment. However, because it is less literal, it is more literal, but it fits in less with the sequence of the psukim, so therefore he puts it second. And not only does he put it in second, he stresses that this is a midrash agada, that this is a more homiletic explanation, and that here the idea of mishpat being guidance is closer to the simple meaning of the verses. And so now we also understand how the Kohen Gadol in the second Beis HaMikdash could serve with the Choshen even without the Urim V'Tumim, because the Urim V'Tumim bring an aspect of Mishpat, which is an additional aspect to the Choshen itself. And now we are going on to Yena Shel Torah, which is the more spiritual, the Hasidic side of Rashi's commentary. So the Rebbe explains that the difference between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash was not in the revelation of godliness in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Meaning, if you walked into the second Beis HaMikdash, you felt the presence of God pretty much in the same way as you felt it in the first. However, the second Beis HaMikdash was still lacking. It was lacking not in revelation within its walls, but it was lacking in its effect upon the world. And this lack is expressed by certain things, five things that were lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. So what do we see about the Choshen? The Choshen in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Choshen was intact. However, it was lacking in Mishpat. Mishpat meaning guidance. Mishpat meaning its effect on the world. It was lacking in Mishpat. The effect on the rest of the world and the mundane was lacking in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And even more so now that we are in Golus, now that we are in exile. On one hand, there is the concept of Choshen. Choshen is still present, but it is present in a different form. Choshen refers to divine consciousness. It is here, but it is hidden. Our sages point out that the word Choshen shares the same letters as the word Nachash. Nachash meaning snake, which refers to the first snake which brought sin and confusion into the world. On the other hand, Choshen has the same numerical value, the same gematria as Mashiach, as mentioned by Rabbi Ephraim of the Balei HaTosfos. So now that we are in Golus, we are in exile, the exile which was caused by sin. So now the Choshen, meaning the divine consciousness, is concealed. The divine presence is here, but it is concealed. We don't see it. It's confused. It's mixed up. And it's turned into Nachash. It's been overwhelmed by the Nachash. It's been overwhelmed by what is called in Kabbalah the skin of the snake. The confusion and the darkness that conceal godliness and overwhelm the divine soul. So the concepts of Choshen and the concept of Mashiach are hidden within the Nachash, within the confusion of this world, which was created by the confusion which was created by sin, starting from the sin of the first snake and furthermore, in the sins of our forefathers, which led to the destruction of the temple and to our being in exile. This confusion is what conceals the ideas of Choshen and Mashiach. They are hidden within the Nachash. And our job is to crack the code. Our job is to reveal the divine presence, that is hidden within the Nachash, to reveal the Choshen, to switch around the letters, find the good which is hidden within the bad, find the holiness which is hidden within the concealment, reveal the Choshen which is hidden within the Nachash, bring the divine presence out of its concealment to the point where it becomes again a Choshen. And not only a Choshen, but to the point where it becomes again a Choshen Mishpat, where it will again have an influence on the world, where we will reveal the divine presence to the extent where it guides our actions. And this revelation of the Choshen will surely bring to the revelation of the aspect of Mashiach, which is also, by its numerical value, concealed within the Nachash. And the revelation of the Choshen will bring to the revelation of Mashiach, may be very soon in our days, b'mehirah v'yameinu, amen.